I know it's 4th of July, and I'm going to say some stuff about that. I want you to go to a strange text for it, though, this morning. I'm going to ask you to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 63. Chapter 63. And we're going to read about 6 or 7 verses here to start with. But we're going to try to reference pretty much the whole chapter. It's not a long chapter. Oh, about 300 verses or something, but no, it's about 18 or 19 verses, and we'll cover most of them maybe before we get through. And Isaiah 63 is an unusual text to be talking a little bit about the 4th of July. But many of you will remember Wednesday night before last, Brother David Osteen was here and preached for us on Wednesday night. And he told you about the phenomena showing the fingerprints, the hand of God on the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Your Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has a big division in it. Between the 39th and 40th chapters, which represents Old Testament 39, New Testament 27, getting you 66 books. Interesting. Then each chapter in Isaiah will say something that will correspond with the corresponding book, 66 books in your Bible. You understand that? How many of you were here on Wednesday night when Brother David spoke, all right? You'll find that example again in the text that I'll read to you this morning out of Isaiah 63. First 7 verses will deal with chapter 19, opening part of chapter 19 of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Now, if you went to the book of Revelation and you counted back from chapter 22, 3 chapters, it would put you right here in chapter 63 of, it'd be not chapter 19 if you counted back 3 chapters from Revelation 22. And that chapter 19 would correspond here with Isaiah 63, which is 3 chapters before you get to the end. In other words, it's a match. Now, I'm going to read this, and I don't know. I may take time to go over and read the corresponding chapter a little bit in Revelation. Hope I didn't lose some of you there. David did a fabulous job on it the other night. We should have given him about twice as much time as we did. But say, what's that saying, preacher? It's saying God wrote the book. Man can't do that. It's a phenomena. I also want to say that the phenomena of God's hand and God's blessing has been on America, and you can't deny that if you'll check it out. Look at it here in verse 1 of chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Boaz? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? They ask him questions. He answers. Now notice this, garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. You know what color your garments will be if you do that? A royal reddish purple. Verse 3, and I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger. We talked about that some in Sunday school when he comes back in judgment fire. And trample them in my fury. By the way, we sang the battle hymn of the Republic. We use that this morning. And while it's good, it's a little unscriptural. It's got it in the wrong place. The battle hymn of the Republic has got the coming in glory mixed up with the coming for the saved. Help yourself on it. I prefer Dixie anyway, but but anyway, just getting it scriptural. I'm just trying to straighten you out here a little bit. Let's move on back. You understand Jesus is coming back. This is the battle of Armageddon. This is when the nations of the world gather against him. This is where they're going to be in the valley of Megiddo. And he's going to come down from the, as it were, from the Mount of Olives. And he's going to trample the blood of a bunch of UN nations that's gathered to stop the Savior and the Creator from coming back. That's what we're reading about right here. Well, it's 4th of July. Half the folks are gone. I'm going to have fun whether you do or not. Let's read on a little bit further. going to trample them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. It's their blood that's going to be like the grapes that he's trampling out. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me, and I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. Now, this is when God is coming back in judgment. Say, well, what's he doing writing to the Jews over this about this? Because he's jumping ahead to the time that he's going to have to come back and take vengeance on a world that's trying to destroy everything concerning God, including the people that he chose to represent him on the earth. And folks, as you and I read our newspapers today, that's not very far off. I mean, all you got to do is see what is building up today. There's a movement in this world, on this globe, to come against Israel, and they are coming against Israel, and Israel is not going to be able to save itself. It's going to take this coming of the Lord to do it. Now, I believe, and I know you do if you're saved, know your Bible, that the church, the saved, are going to be caught out before that. But we're going to get to see after the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you went to Revelation 19, you would find exactly what I read here. If you went over to Revelation 19, you would read over there how that his garments are going to be bloody. It says in verse 12 of chapter 19 that his eyes will be like a flame of fire. On his head there's many crowns, a name no man knows but himself. He's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven moved or followed upon white horses. And verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And down in verse 15 says, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. You got a parallel portion in Revelation 19 to what we read in Isaiah 63, and it is that time when God says to the nation, I'm coming back to rescue you, when all the enemies and the nations of the world have gathered to destroy you. And my friend, that is close. Now, if you went to Revelation chapter 19 in the earlier part, you'd find out the marriage supper of the Lamb has already taken place. Who is that? Those that have been called out to the supper. And at the wedding, and the bride, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But then they return from heaven on the armies following Jesus. And the blood, I used to hear my grandma say this, is going to reach the horse's bridle. And the Bible says that in the Valley of Armageddon. Now, I said all that to say simply this. As you go on down through here, it kind of starts in reverse. It tells the nation of Israel that he's coming back to trample the enemy underfoot, to tread the winepress of the wrath of God. And we can see that this is a phenomenon here in the Bible. And I want to say that the rise of America in history has been a phenomenon of God. We are in a day and time now when there's a big argument, as it were. The ACLU and other atheistic liberals are saying out there that America was not a Christian nation. When our president can go to another land and declare America's not a Christian nation. I want to say to you, it is a Christian nation. It was a Christian nation. It should still be a Christian nation. And if you'll read our history, you'll find out, my friend, that God used the believers, the Christians, to bring up this nation. 52 out of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were dedicated Christians. The other three were friends, such as Benjamin Franklin and others that were friends of the Bible and friends of Christians. The 4th of July is our nation's birthday. And I want to say we've never been in any more danger on the 4th of July than we are this 4th of July as we look at the world scene today. Now, God's hand was on us from the beginning. When George Washington crossed the Delaware River and won the battle at Trenton, I want to say to you that couldn't have happened without God Almighty's blessing. Without those dedication of those men, that many of them didn't even have shoes on their feet in the snow, and yet they went across and they won a decisive battle, and God's hand was on that. when they got back, and George Washington had to say to them, "It's not over. And you men, you've got a right to go home. Your term is up, and you're suffering, and your family at home is suffering." But he said, "I got to ask you to stay for another battle or two." And he said, "I'll give you $10 apiece to do so." That's right. But he didn't have the 10. They stayed by faith, and they stayed on in dedication. And that was the hand of God, my friend, right there. Now, we were been protected by God. The fourth is unusual. There was two men that signed the Declaration of Independence that later on became president. Two of those men, one of them was John Adams, one of them was Thomas Jefferson. And it's an interesting thing that both those men signed the Declaration of Independence, but they both also died on July the 4th, 1826, the 50th birthday of our country. Now, coincidence. No, God's had his hand on things. You go back and look. You go back and see the protection of God in so many ways. As we celebrate today, we ought to recognize that God was in this thing. I believe it was John Adams, and I stuck a piece in my Bible here. John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail. He wrote to her on the 3rd of July, and he wrote the second day of July. This is what he wrote now, quote, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable in history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore." John Adams was the president. He wrote this, and you say, well, second day of July? Yeah, that's the time Congress voted for a legal separation from Britain. And July the 4th become a celebration of that. But I'm simply saying to you, the man was prophetic. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be counting it. We're supposed to be rejoicing over it. We're supposed to be happy as we celebrate our independence. And I guarantee everybody that pops a firecracker has no idea of what it means anymore. That's a sad truth in our generation today. I wanted to deal with the theme here, the context here as a theme this morning. Its context is Israel. I understand that. And I recognize that it's the end that's now building to happen, where the Lord's going to come back and have to trample the enemy of Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. We just had our president go over to Cairo and make another speech. By the way, when they introduced him, they emphasized in Cairo that his name was Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, they wanted to emphasize his roots. Amen. You better wake up, America. You better wake up. The America that we are celebrating on the 4th of July is fast slipping away. And the liberty it represents is fast being destroyed as we look around today. Now, as I look around and see the parallel between Israel here and America, I want to make some points about it. To begin with, in verses 7 through 9, which I did not read, jump over there in Isaiah 63. I'll just read just a few more. In verse 7, notice, "I will mention the love and kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to his multitude of his love and kindness." Look at it. "I will mention the love and kindness of the Lord." Now to the Jews, he's saying, "I'm coming back. I'm going to destroy the enemy that's destroying you. I want you to look at my loving kindness." I want to say to America today, we need to look back at the loving kindness of God upon this great country of ours. We've been blessed of God. America's got about 6 to 8% of the population of the world. Yet we got 72% of the automobiles. Do you understand we have 44% of the oil? We wouldn't have a bit of problem with gasoline and oil if we used our own. and we went out and drill for it. We got a bill right now just passed the House of Representatives. It will probably be pushed through the Senate. If not this time, they'll bring it around. They'll push it through again. It's called the Cap and Trade Bill. It's based on the thing of America saving the planet from global warming. See, they talk about the carbon footprint, and they're a bunch of junk. They're talking about capping our efforts and trading for carbon credits with other nations. Now, let me get that where you understand it. We're going to pay the big expense for more gasoline, for more diesel, for more electricity, so America can sacrifice, and the businesses in America are going to go overseas where they don't have a cap on them. And the truth is, we are about to destroy ourselves with this stupidity, all on a hoax. Global warming has not been given a fair debate. There's at least as many good scientists for it as they are against it, and vice versa. I mean, it's a trade-off, but the news media won't let you have that. And so Congress is being duped on an environmental god that does not exist, and we've made green a god instead of the truth. America has resources from God we could use. Our country was made great as we were self-sufficient, not depending on China or anybody else. Amen? And as we look at this fourth, we are in a lot of danger, folks. A lot of danger. You better, the bill, the cap and trade thing, what a joke it is. But it's coming. It's coming. Now, just a little common sense. If we stop polluting the atmosphere here a little bit, according to them, and I don't believe in it at all, but according to them, but we ship over to China and let them pollute it more, listen, water seeks its own level. And the environment's going to seek its own level. It's suicide. The taxpayer in America is the one that's being conned all the way. Now, I'll say this. God's been good to us. He's given us the natural resources. He's defended us. Do you understand that the biggest blessing of defense America has is one ocean on one side and the other ocean on the other side? You know what kept the Germans from invading America was the ocean. During World War II? Well, they sent a few subs. There was a few of them caught up around New York, and there's a little bit in Alaska and so on. But the truth of the matter is, we got a pretty good moat around our nation, if you understand what I mean by that. Brother, a moat used to protect the castles in Europe, remember? It's pretty hard to build a drawbridge across the Atlantic Ocean. But I'm just simply saying God's blessing was on us. We've been blessed with our borders. We've been blessed with a constitution like no other nation's ever had. Was it an accident that men could draw up such a document that lasted all these years? No, God's hand was on it. That constitution gave us the right to assemble, free assembly, to address grievances. Did you see how it happened in Iran lately? Boy, what happened to them? There's thousands of them in jail over there. There's thousands of them killed. You better be thankful for God's hand on America and giving us the Constitution, the freedom of assembly, and the freedom of arms, the Second Amendment. I mean, listen, folks, there's a crowd out there that hates that, and they're doing everything they can to take it away because they still fear the population, and our forefathers was wise enough to give us and write it up in that document, the freedom of arms, to bear arms. And the freedom of speech. Now, that's being fast taken away. Exactly what I'm preaching right now is real close to being across the line to having me go to jail for what I'm saying. Yet, if you went back enough 4th of July's, you wouldn't have to go back but just a few, and every preacher could get up on his hind legs and holler, and he didn't have to worry about what government thought about it. But we're losing the freedom of speech. I told you last week, there's a preacher right now in the state of, Massachusetts? I believe it was. That's got a letter being fined $5,000 because he got up and told the truth on Islam. Amen. I've told it a few times here. And that's freedom of speech we're talking about. political correctness has taken the place of our freedom. And we're seeing it everywhere that we turn. And freedom of speech is something we're going to miss. And they got the crime bill, the hate crime bill coming on right now. The hate crime bill, I've joked about it before. If you're going to kill somebody, kill them in love. You won't get near as much time. But I'm joking a little bit, but I'm simply saying this. They are writing it up to where when I say something against a false religion, Islam, Buddhist, you name it, or just plain liberal Christianity. And there's plenty of that. But if I say something about it, then the hate crime, well, you hate them. And you're stirring up, you may stir up somebody to kill an abortion doctor or something else. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Anyway, that's the hate crime bill right now. And it's amazing that we are allowing our elected representatives to do this kind of stuff. Now, thank God a few of them are fighting it, but they're outnumbered. Somebody said it didn't matter in the election. Well, it has been mattering for 100 days. Big time. Big time. The liberals have never been in such control as they're in now. And we're seeing this stuff move right on by. But you know, God says, look at my love and kindness. He said that to Israel. And again, when he rescues them at the Battle of Armageddon, he's again demonstrating his love and kindness to them. This is at the end of Jacob's trouble, at the end of the tribulation period, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. This is a time that they have no other hope. And right now, Israel is being pressured to give up the city of Jerusalem, to give up their land with no security whatsoever. And it looks like that America, especially America, is going to be able to force them into doing that. Oh, yeah. God says to them at the end of the tribulation period here, look at my love and kindness. Look at it. Then in verse 10, look at verse 10. I didn't read it, but I want you to look with it now. Verse 10 of this same 63rd chapter. But they rebel. Now, God's rehashing something with them. My love and kindness. Or you could go back through the Bible, took them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, done all the good things for them. Verse 10, but they rebelled. Wouldn't America fit that verse? All the good God has done for us, but they rebelled. And vexed his Holy Spirit. Vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. My, what a verse. Think about it. They rebelled. Would that fit America? Have we vexed God? How would we have vexed God? Have you ever been vexed? You ever had anything deeply bother you? I look on a lot of stuff today that deeply bothers me. I can only imagine how God is vexed as he looks at some of this stuff. There was the month of June we just finished up. It was designated as a month of pride for the LGBTs. Now I say, what in the world is LGBT? Well, I'm glad you ask. Somewhere here in my filing cabinet, here it is. Here was a proclamation declaring June to be LGBT. Get it right. LGBT. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered Pride Month. You didn't know that June was Pride Month? For the lesbians, the gays, the bisexuals, and the transgendered. It was Pride Month. In this proclamation that was given to them, here's what was stated by our president. LGBT Americans have made and continue to make great and lasting contributions that continue to strengthen the fabric of American society. Strengthen the fabric of American society by being a lesbian, a gay, a bisexual, or a transgendered person. Wonder what contributions he's talking about. Does he mean sexual relations in the men's room of every airport? Or perhaps the destruction of all the child abuse, sexual abuse, young men's lives messed up with sodomy? Is that strengthening the fabric of America? I don't think so. Where in the world, folks, are we at? Look at what verse 10 says again. They rebelled, but crosses the street, they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, because they vexed him, because they rebelled, therefore he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. Our history shows God fighting for us. What if he fights against us? I say to you, we're in a heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. I mean, he did fight for us in our history. Anybody ever read him much about the War of 1812? You know, we're celebrating 1776, the Revolutionary War over the British. But the British didn't quit. They came back again. You do know that? You do know they walked down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., and they burned and they sacked the place, and it looked like they were about to have the victory. But something happened. A phenomenon happened. The weather in the months it was not supposed to do this began to storm and rain and hail fell. And the enemy troops were defeated not because of our might, but because of the weather. You don't see God in that? You get some of these veterans to talk to you about World War II, and they'll tell you there was times that God put the clouds in the right place to hide a ship or to hide some airplanes. There was time that fog moved in when it wasn't supposed to move in. More, I mean, you ought to read some of the stuff that shows you the hand of God. I read where one naval captain said they just had the battleships with the Japanese, and they destroyed each other, and the Japanese lost. And our captain commenting, he said, "Are we that much better than the Japanese, or was luck on our side?" No, it wasn't luck, Captain. It was a God in heaven. That's who it was. And God did fight for us in our history. No doubt about it. And we need God now, folks. While we might pop off a little firecracker here for the 4th of July, the North Koreans are mocking us by shooting their rockets. The big firecrackers, if you please. They're laughing at us. And we've got Iran. As soon as they get a nuclear warhead, they're going to use it. Korea is probably going to help them get it if they don't already have it. You know what? We need the same God that helped us in 1812. We need the same God that helped us in 1776. We need the same God that helped us in World War I and World War II, and right on. And when the boys get back from Iraq and other places, they're going to tell you also that God helped them. But I want to say, we can't turn our back on God. We can't rebel on God. We can't vex God's Spirit and expect God to always defend us. And that's exactly where we're at today. Oh, I'm not going to stop there. I look around, see the values of our country, what's left. I see the ones with values keeping their mouths shut. I see while Korea might be shooting a nuke our way, our news is covered up with the Queen of Pop. King, queen, whatever. That's all we're interested in anymore. Amen. Crazy, crazy. Ridiculous, really. Then I, thankfully, I can look a little deeper in the text. Now look at verse 11. Then he remembered, God remembered. Then he remembered the days of old. And it rehearses here Moses. And God taking care of him like a shepherd over a flock and dividing the water in verse 12. God remembers. I want to say, if America has any hope, it's to remember the old days. That's what it says. Then he remembered days of old. You know something? We could, as a nation, turn back to God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have no faith we will. But we could. God is long-suffering. He is merciful. He would hear. If his people called on his name and repented of their sins, he would hear. And that is our hope. Our blessed hope is that Jesus is going to come and get us out of it. But if my grandkids have got to endure 20 more years of this, I ought to do my best to save the situation. And the only way it can be saved is getting folks to turn back to God. Getting a nation to repent. Repent is more than words. It's actions. It's actions. And our hope would be to go back to the days, as it were, of old. Israel's challenge is to go back here. That's America's challenge. It worked for them, it'll work for us to come back to God. One day, folks, what we have been blessed of God to have as a free nation, with all the freedoms of the Constitution and the freedom to make a living and all that we've had been blessed of God with, one day is going to be missed. Much of it's getting missed already. But excuse the language, you ain't seen nothing yet if it keeps going like it's going. We are really going to miss it big. And you and I that have got a lot of birthdays behind our name, we'll get on out of here before long, one way or the other. Either Jesus will come or the Undertaker will. But your kids, your grandkids, that's what you ought to think about. As we celebrate a fourth, we ought to start looking to the God that made our force great and gave us that first victory and sustained us all this long time through the years. There's a song that's played on our radio station, probably taken from the story I'm fixing to tell you. It's about an old man watching a parade with his grandson. And their heart's getting full as Old Glory comes by. But let's run it a little forward from that to the story from which could well be in the future. It's a little grandson standing with his grandpa as they watch a parade, a government parade, go by. The little grandson is overheard to talk to grandpa as they watch the government parade and they watch the dignitaries in the big cars come by. And the little boy says, "Grandpa, tell me again. Tell me again how it was when you were a little boy that everybody owned a car. Tell me again, Grandpa, that when you were a little boy, people could leave the city without a permit. Tell me about it again, Grandpa, when everybody just about had their own house. I want to hear it again, Grandpa, how that you wouldn't get arrested for owning a Bible. And Grandpa, tell me again when churches could meet in their own buildings. Didn't have to meet in a cellar with the curtains drawn, Grandpa. Tell me about that again. Didn't have to hide to mention Jesus. Grandpa, tell me about it when people could tell the story how God's Son loved them and died for them on the cross and paid for their sins. And tell me again, Grandpa, how they could openly confess Him as their Savior and walk down in front of a public crowd and talk about Jesus. Tell me again, Grandpa, that when we didn't have to slip around and hide in the dark for Sunday school. Grandpa, tell me about it again." No, Grandpa spoke up. And he said, "Grandson, all that's true. We used to have our own cars. We used to go where we wanted to. We had freedom to say what we wanted to say. And we didn't have to hide to read the Bible. And we didn't have to hide to have church. And Grandson, it was a wonderful time. And everybody could speak the truth. And men could step out and unashamedly confess Christ as their Savior. And nobody would bother them. It's all true, Grandson." And the little boy looked up and saw the tears running out of Grandpa's eyes. And he said, "Grandpa, tell me again. How did you lose it? How did you lose it? And I say to you today, as Americans on the 4th of July, how are we losing it? How are we losing it? Who are we losing it for? Who's going to miss it shortly down the road? What part are you having in losing it? I'll tell you this much. The greatest thing you can do to save this country is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up for what His book says. Tell the truth while we still can tell it. And stand for what's right while we can. Because the day is coming that you may have to explain to some grandkid how you lost it. How you let it slip away. What can you do? God will show you something. You do it. You do it. Let's bow our heads.